Welcome to another podcast in our series for the International Chamber of Commerce UK branch. This is ICC's World Business Podcast recorded in London on the 1st of August 2017. I'm Jonathan Harvey and I have both Ian Talbot, Secretary General of ICC Ireland and Chief Executive of Chambers Ireland, and Chris Southworth, ICC United Kingdom Secretary General. Thank you for joining me today. Ian, let's start with you first. Brexit continues to dominate the headlines. What are the priorities for Ireland?
Well, good morning, John, and great to be on the podcast with you today. The core priorities for the island of Ireland, and in that context, I think we need to look at both the Republic of Ireland and the Northern Ireland economies. No border is critical. A retention of the common travel area, which has really been in existence since 1921, post-independence, no tariffs and no regulatory divergence, and looking at some of our areas in Ireland as areas of collective economic drivers, such as cross-border areas like Newry and Dundalk and Letterkenny, Strabane and Derry, Londonderry. These are all vitally important things for the island of Ireland. But we also can't lose sight of the important East-West relationship as well, the relationship between the island of Ireland and the island of Great Britain. And the worry we have at the moment is that there's so much focus on just the island of Ireland that we'll forget about the really important relationship between the two separate islands as well.
Thank you. So what are the implications of any change for the international business community?
Well, the implications are potentially very serious. First of all, many FDI investors, as well as Irish indigenous companies on both sides of the border, have built complex supply chains that assume a seamless border is in place, so that, for example, manufacturing lines of supply, just-in-time systems and so on, are all premised on no customs, no border posts, and no delays arising. So supply chains become very important. The next item, obviously of critical importance, is companies' target markets. So a real understanding of where your target market for whatever you're manufacturing, producing, the services you're providing are. Is that market the UK? Is it the EU? Where do you need to be located to access those markets? So there's a real issue for both foreign direct investors and indigenous companies in both sides of the border, both sides of the equation here, on those particular topics. Another big area on the island of Ireland is that we've typically had for the last 20 years and more an all-island tourist industry, for example, as well. So travel agents, airlines, all those really important business lines in a service-driven economy, for example, are potentially under threat if you start to put up borders, customs posts, delays in the system, different regulatory systems and so on. So there's an awful lot of complex areas, but the most important thing I'd say to businesses is you have to understand every detail about your business, how you're bringing your inputs into your system and where your outputs are going. You need to understand those and then work out how Brexit might affect those.
Thank you, Ian. So removing the hard border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland has increased trade, created jobs and established peace after decades of troubles. How do we safeguard these trade benefits in the context of Brexit?
Well, it really is very simple to say, but I think much more complex to deliver. We absolutely cannot have a border. And we need to look at that border in terms of not just movement of people and, for example, having to have some sort of passport control. We need to look at it in terms of supply chains. We need to look at it in terms of things like education. We need to look at it in terms of just jobs, where people potentially live on one side of the border and work on the other side of the border. At the moment, they're facing a very simple couple of mile journey, but if you find that you're leaving your children in a crèche on one side of the border and you're delayed getting home, it's a real crisis for an economy that sees at least 30,000 people a day moving over that border to live, work, go about their business. And we also have an incredibly complex, at least 200 roads that actually traverse the border. So the prospect of having to put up a hard border really is unimaginable. And we really are struggling now, I think, in Ireland to see how technology solutions will solve this. So there are some real challenges ahead. And one of the most important things that I think is starting to come through in the debate now in the UK, particularly since the election, is a much more realistic perspective about the need for a transition period to bring us from a pre-Brexit world to a post-Brexit world. The length of time and the nature of that transition is going to be really, really important to allow businesses and people time to adapt.
Thanks. So, Chris, do you have anything to add to this?
Yeah, I just really copy Ian's thoughts, actually. I think the point around education is very important. I'd add culture to that. I mean, I think the UK is incredibly integrated. You know, how many families must have Irish blood within that family? How on earth do you put a border or some sort of barrier in between that? And how do people perceive that relationship with Ireland? I think it's very unique. The only other country I can think of is similar to that is Scotland. Where there's such an integration of culture and education and just my general mindset. I mean, I think the issue for me around Ireland is it's a perfect example of why ICC exists. You know, ICC exists to promote open borders, to promote prosperity, shared prosperity, jobs, investment, and ultimately peace, particularly in a conflictive environment, which Ireland, the Ireland has been in, or was in at least, for many, many decades. And actually, it's been an extraordinary success in that regard. You know, the economy has really boomed. It's had its ups and downs, but overall, it's absolutely boomed. We've had at least two generations now of young people who've come through and really grown up in a peaceful environment. That's an enormous, enormous achievement. So I think the UK, Irish and EU have all committed and stated quite clearly that they want no hard border. As a business community who depend, exactly as Ian is saying, on all those interactions within their supply chains to really trade around the world, we must defend the open border and make sure that no barriers are put back where they once were. And actually Ireland and our relationship with Ireland continues to grow. I think it's incredibly important.
Thank you both. Ian, G20 Germany has just concluded in Hamburg. What is the relevance of G20 for a non-G20 country like Ireland?
Well, we depend on being a small open economy. World trends affect us hugely. And it's vitally important that the G20 leaders provide the leadership and set the standard for open trade and investment, leading to that economic growth, prosperity and quality jobs creation, the type of things Chris has just been talking about. And for us in Ireland, it certainly strikes home as a country the importance of our continued membership of the EU so that our voice is at least partially heard at the G20 table through that EU membership. But as a business representative organisation as well, the role of the ICC has never been more important to ensure that business is represented at that G20 and that businesses are represented from the 100 or more countries that are members of the ICC and not just the G20 countries too.
Thanks. And Chris, representing a G20 country, what are your views?
Yeah, I mean, Ian, we've spoken about this many times, haven't we? I mean, I think ultimately the G20 is definitely a step forward from what used to be the G7, which was really a tight group of the old order, if you like. You know, G20 is definitely a more inclusive group. It's got the big emerging economies. It represents 70% of the world's population, 80 to 90% of global trade. So it's definitely it's a unique platform in terms of a dialogue with developed and emerging economies, which is so important. You know, the policy decisions that come out of that forum really set the mandates for international institutions like the ICC, the OECD, UN, and others. And ultimately that has a direct impact on the operating environment in which trading companies are having to operate around. So I think the role of the G20 is incredibly important. It's a really good question around the openness and inclusiveness beyond just that 20 group. I'm quite encouraged actually there were 35 countries involved this year. It could be so many more. And it certainly puts a good question on countries like the UK that we should be reaching out actively and engaging countries like Ireland who are on our doorstep, who are a non-G20, to make sure that voice is travelling through. Actually, UK and Ireland, we generally fight for the same things, we believe in the same things. When you get at an international level, it's very rare. In fact, I can't even think of a single example off the top of my head where we would be in disagreement. Ian, you may correct me on that, but you know, it's important that we are working together and making sure that the decisions being made are beneficial to everybody.
Chris, I absolutely agree with you. And one of the concerns coming through in the Republic of Ireland about Brexit is that we very much saw ourselves and the UK as like-minded countries that tended to initiate the battles on things like corporation tax and open trade and non-protectionist measures that sometimes have to be fought within the European Union. So we'll be very sorry to see the back of the UK from the strength and the authority of the UK's position on so many of these topics that are so important to international open trade.
Yeah, it's a really good point that actually. So you're quite right to correct me. Brexit is actually a major issue. It's the first major issue that I can think of, certainly in recent memory, where there is this significant divergence of opinion around our kind of trading priorities, relationships at global level, and that does have a direct impact on the kind of forums that we and ICC participate in. So it's going to be interesting how it evolves. I mean, I'm always a great believer that the relationships between countries run far deeper than the EU itself. So our UK, England, if you like, Scotland, Ireland relationship is far predates anything from the EU, and I'd like to think that we've grown up enough to embed what we do now in that relationship. In other words, that we find a proper solution that's right for everybody, not just right for those who voted out of the EU, but it's right for Ireland, it's right for the international community that depend on that relationship.
Absolutely, Chris. And ultimately, we're moving back towards the discussion on Brexit rather than G20 here, of course. But it does permeate everything that we talk about in business on these islands at the moment. But at the end of the day, the Irish and the UK economies have effectively been integrated for several hundred years. And no matter what limitations, and hopefully there will be very few, if any, arise from Brexit, businesses will still find a way to trade with each other. People will still find a way to mix. And ultimately, Manchester United, for example, will continue to have a strong supportive base in Ireland.
Okay, thank you both. Chris, Ian, 2 weeks ago we spoke about ICC's landmark event at the UN Sustainable Development Goals Business Forum, also known as SDG. Now that you have had some time to reflect from your visit, what's your view on this?
Well, if I can sort of chip in, I mean, it takes a couple of weeks, doesn't it, to kind of actually crunch the numbers on these kind of events. And actually, there are three significant firsts. It was the largest ever private sector event in the history of the UN, can you believe, with 1,500 people participating from various parts of the business community worldwide. It was the first ever business event in the UN General Assembly Hall, which I think is I would interpret that as symbolism of it. You know, if you think of all those amazing global leaders who have stood at that platform, from Gandhi to Mandela and on, to have a business representative standing talking about, you know, how business is helping solve the world's problems and delivering the global vision, I think that's enormously significant. And then it was the first speech by the new Secretary General of the UN, Antonio Guterres, on the role of business in delivering the 2030 vision for the world. All of those are incredibly important firsts. They set the precedent now and the platform on which to then develop that dialogue. And anyone who's involved in business and government at national level, it's just important to understand the context of dialogue with the UN is nothing like as sophisticated. So we've got to work hard and show what businesses can do to create jobs, to create prosperity, to what is normally associated with non-government organisations like providing water, education, cultural opportunities. Businesses are doing all of these things, but we've got to get that point across, and we've got to keep getting across the point that businesses play a positive role in the world, not a negative role. Ian, you may have a different view. Over to you.
No, not at all. And we certainly have the debate extensively in Ireland of working with businesses of all size, and that's the great thing about the Chamber network globally. You have businesses of all shapes and sizes and geographies and sectors who are members of ours. So we don't have particular sectoral interests. We've very geographic interests, and that's why I guess Brexit and the G20 are so important to us. But this really looks like a remarkable achievement, and it really demonstrates business leadership to embrace the need for responsible, civic-minded policies, strategies and engagement. And I think if you look back to 1919, when the original founders of the ITC established themselves with a message of peace and trade, create prosperity to solve issues, I think the original founders of the ITC would be very, very proud of what the organisation now finds itself doing and bringing businesses along with it to actually have that engagement at an organisation such as the UN.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Chris. You've been listening to the World Business Podcast from ICC United Kingdom.